The first naturalist I met on our two-day voyage across the Drake Passage was Johnny Reed, who seemed to be everywhere, from the bridge to the stern. He was quick to lift binoculars to his eyes and call out names of seabirds or distant whales. I was impressed with his ability to identify animals so quickly, what seemed like hockey pucks for me, little dark dots swooshing across waves or crossing the bow before disappearing into the distance. It was during these impromptu sightings that I learned from him about the animals that evolved to live in this ecosystem. How seabirds like petrels and albatross use the wind coming off tops of 8-meter swells to coast without flapping their wings, allowing them to stay aloft for weeks and travel thousands of miles without landing. Or how their beaks evolved to filter salt from seawater, allowing them to drink from the ocean. Johnny's passion for these animals rubbed off on us pretty quickly, and without even noticing, everyone started calling out names of birds and orca that we spotted, but always looking to Johnny as we spoke, just to make sure. At the end of our expedition, I talked with Johnny as we steamed back across the Drake. It was my last chance to try to make sense of what I'd just experienced from someone experienced enough to know. I'm Michael Hernandez, your host and tour guide for Change the Narrative, the podcast about innovation in work, life, and education. This season is a very exciting one. It's all about my expedition to Antarctica as part of my Lindblad Expeditions National Geographic Grosvenor Teacher Fellowship. In these episodes, you'll hear about the people and places I visited, how each of us were uniquely drawn to this place, and how the act of bearing witness changes how you relate to the world and launches you on a different kind of personal expedition.
So I got into marine mammals when I was at university studying. I was actually studying marine biology at the time, and I took a particular interest in the intelligence that the whales and dolphins showed, and I just began to get hooked on them and went from one project to the other learning about them. And it got to the point where I was doing all the science but felt like I wasn't sharing it with people, and coming down as a naturalist, it gave me the opportunity to share the information that I was collecting. When we're in science, sometimes we get really focused on collecting the data and getting the data out into scientific articles, which is great. But it's not really easy for the general public to see and understand. So I like just to be able to bring it to them on a different level that they can connect to. I think coming down here, they get the opportunity to see the animals firsthand, and then also get the facts and figures from us and the real meaning behind what's going on. And I think it's a good combination of the two, yeah. The first whale that I saw was a humpback whale in Puerto Rico, and I knew how big they were. I knew they got up to 45, 50 feet in length, and you can't really process that in your head until you see it firsthand in front of you. And when the whale jumped out in the water and breached in front of us, you really got an idea of the scale. But it's not just the animal, it's the environment that you're in at the same time that really just helps paint the picture. Yeah.
Yeah, I had that happen to me on this trip as well, where that humpback just came right up 5 feet from the Zodiac. And I'm not a religious person, but it was kind of a spiritual experience. And just even hearing them breathe was fantastic and amazing, too. I know most people can't physically be in those spaces. It's just impossible for everyone. How would you describe it? What is it like to be that close to an animal that large and that ancient?
I think the way you described it then as spiritual, again, I'm not a religious person either, but there's definitely moments when you have those encounters, and I must say that those encounters are pretty rare. Not everyone's going to have those really close encounters. I've had a humpback whale calf come underneath the boat and look up to me, and you're looking eye to eye into the individual, and you really get to connect. It's such a larger scale, having such a big animal underneath you that you're looking into, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
The barnacles on the front of it?
There it is!
Tail, baby. Oh. Right underneath.
So whales are all around the world. Why did you choose to come to Antarctica?
I mean, when you get the opportunity to go, you can't really say no, I think, ultimately. But I think for me, coming down to Antarctica, it's although it has had its past with human activity, there's been a lot of whaling that's gone on, and still there is some whaling in certain parts of Antarctica. Very little, though, compared to what it was back in the 40s, 50s and 60s. For me, Antarctica still seems relatively untouched. There are more and more expedition ships coming down, but you can still find a place where it's just you and there's no other human interactions down there, and you really get this full natural experience that you're in nature and there's no one else around.
I'm somebody who's very connected on social media and email all the time, and I feel like so much of our world values connection. What is it like for you to come to a place like this and disconnect?
I mean, when you go on, I worked on a number of research boats, and when you come into a research project, you're almost forced to disconnect because the internet isn't fantastic, and you can't check your emails every day. You also don't want to check your emails every day because the scenery is just so amazing, the wildlife's fantastic. And I notice, I mean, I can go back and see that my time used on my phone has reduced significantly from when I'm at home, and it makes me reflect more when I go back, actually, that it's like I'm going to do better and spend more time off my phone. And down here, I just seem to be so connected with what's going on. And yeah, you are a little bit oblivious to the outside world, and it's good to be updated with news and what's going on, but sometimes you can really get away from the drama of social media and the doom scrolling, as people call it, and you don't have time to scroll, and yeah, it's just a wonderful thing. I still like to be able to share my photos and put my photos up when I can, but I also just enjoy mostly being in the moment and just enjoying it and going through the hordes and hordes of photos afterwards when I get back, yeah.
You're literally at the bottom of the world, the opposite side of the world from where you come from. What is it like to be away from family for so long?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I've worked on quite a few projects now. My family are kind of used to me being away, and most of the time I am out of contact. Down here, I still have connection to them and I can talk to them. You miss out on a lot of the family moments. I'm currently expecting to be an uncle any day now, and I'm gonna miss all the family getting together for that moment. And yeah, there's times like that where you do miss being at home, but then at the same time, I'm so lucky to come to one of the most pristine places in the world and share it with all the people on board. I think there's a saying that the grass is always greener on the other side, and I have a lot of my friends that are jealous of the adventures that I go on, but I'm as amazing as they are, I'm also jealous of them being able to see family and friends whenever they want to, and I guess it's the path that I've chose to take, and I really enjoy the path that I'm on. And most of the time when you're on the projects, you don't have time to think about things that are going at home because it's so busy and there's so much adventure that you tend to reflect in the evenings when you go to bed, but it's quite nice to be able to send the occasional photo through and know that your family are super excited and very supportive of what I do. I think that helps.
It's hard to describe. Everybody keeps using that word, indescribable, and the importance and the delicacy of this massive ancient place. And I feel like so many folks at home don't get it. What do you want folks to know about Antarctica?
When we talk about the climate changing by a degree or 2 degrees Celsius on average, that's average for the whole world, and the poles are experiencing the bigger changes. And sometimes it's the small details, the small little effects that kind of you know, progress on down the line. If we look at marine mammals, for example, we look at the killer whales that we have down in Antarctica. We have a particular group of killer whales that feed on Weddell seals, and people may have seen the documentaries where they do the wave wash technique to wash off a Weddell seal off a piece of ice. And we're finding now with the reduction in ice that Weddell seals are now hauling out on a beach instead of hauling out on ice, and that's resulting in the killer whale numbers reducing because there's less Weddell seals for them to feed on the ice. And I think there's so many little small cogs that are going to go together for the whole picture, and if one little cog gets out of line, then we get a bit of a problem. I think if people focus more locally and try not to think about the big picture, because it is so overwhelming, like, oh, how can we solve the problem? If they just focus on the little steps, and small changes can really make a big impact. There's 8 billion people on the planet, and if every single person makes a tiny little change, we can see a big change overall.
You tell the story again and again for folks who come down here. Does it ever get frustrating? Like, you have to keep repeating the message?
It doesn't get frustrating. We're very lucky on board this ship. I think being associated with National Geographic, that most of the people that come down have a real good understanding and appreciation for the environment. I think for me, I feel a little bit of guilt coming down, that there's a level of being a hypocrite where you kind of, you're coming down and almost contributing towards the problem. But I think that if I can come down and change the opinion or give details of what's actually happening down here, there's some very influential people on board that can go back, including teachers who can go back and spread the word. I don't see it as frustrating. I think it's an opportunity for me to educate, and I think that's the more important thing is, yeah, just spreading the word as much as I can. I've talked to guests that since they've been on a trip, that they're just appreciating the birds flying overhead, the birds migrating. And if you can't get down here, then just going out in your back garden and just being connected to nature and putting the phone down and just taking a moment to take in what you're seeing. And I think just appreciate that we are a part of the planet and there's a lot of life on it. My background is mainly in acoustics, marine mammal acoustics, and I think that sometimes just closing your eye and just taking a moment to listen to all the sounds, and life is going on around us. It's not just our lives that are on the planet. And yeah, sometimes it's just reflecting on that, I think, is pretty powerful.
Every day on ship, I'd find reasons to venture on deck, to brave the wind, cold, or snow, to watch the sunrise, or take photos of whales close by. While wandering, I'd occasionally spy Johnny, perched in a quiet corner above deck, reading a book, with a view of ocean or ice or sky beyond. I'm sure the quiet and solitude was a much-needed break from the commotion of getting guests on and off Zodiacs, and inspecting our boots from mud and penguin poop. Processing anything as immense as Antarctica or climate change requires us to find our own way in and out, to own it, to embrace it, to wrestle with it. Alex and Zachary take a very direct approach. Susan seems more methodical, though no less passionate. And Johnny? His is a poetic approach, reflective. Maybe the beauty of the world holds the key to unlocking action. If only each of us made more time to listen and observe. This episode was written and produced by me, Michael Hernandez. It was created as part of my Lindblad Expeditions National Geographic Grosvenor Teacher Fellowship, an experience of a lifetime for which I am extremely grateful. You can find out more about National Geographic Education, the Grosvenor Teacher Fellowship, and tons of other teaching and learning resources on their website, education.nationalgeographic.org. To see photos from this episode, including photos I shot on board our ship, the National Geographic Explorer, visit our website, changethenarrative.net.